Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Happy to be here.
Well, Ed, you recently, at least at the time of this recording, wrote this article on your site, on the CT site, Why is Evangelism Declined? It was on January 21st, 2020. And what I wanted to do is I love the article so much. And as I was reading through it, I was like, man, this is going to be so helpful for church planners listening in and for individuals who are wanting to reach their communities. Because ultimately, everything that we do at New Churches, yes, we do church planning and we do multi-site, but the banner is multiplication. The banner is the Great Commission. And how do we reach our communities? How do we better do evangelism that then, as our friends at Geneva Push say, how do we evangelize churches into existence? So I love what you, the points that you shared here on that article. So let's actually just walk through each of these points and hear your thoughts on this. Here's the first one. There's been a bit of backlash to past models that seemed reductionistic and mechanistic. What did you mean by that?
Well, so a lot of times when we talk about reductionistic and mechanistic, we're talking about sort of, you know, say these four things, ask these two questions, and expect a person to respond. And I think ultimately, you know, so much evangelism. I mean, last night I had the privilege of sharing the gospel with a young man, and he's fascinating journey he's on. And I didn't walk the Roman road, but nothing's anything wrong with that. I didn't ask, you know, diagnostic questions. I just listened to him, shared a little more, and kind of went from there. I think for us, we are drawn to tools, since we're drawn to tools, the end result is those tools sometimes can become reduced to simply a quick little speech, you know, sort of an elevator pitch. And again, I'm actually one who thinks it's good that you learn an elevator pitch. I think it's good, you know, the Romans Road or the four spiritual laws, or, you know, if you were to die today, because those are all tools in your tool bag. But I think too often it's not just in the context of relationship. And that's ultimately this was a conversation I had, a 30-minute conversation I had with somebody that I'll never meet again. He didn't give me his information at the end of our conversation. And so it's not like, but it was in the context of our conversation. So that didn't allow it to feel mechanistic or anything like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. That does make sense. Yeah, I love what you wrote here. You're more likely now to find Christians make jokes about the way they used to do evangelism than actually do evangelism.
Well, it's true. I mean, and you know, I think about how often people share the gospel nowadays. I mean, everyone talks about it, but hardly anyone does it. I would say what we want to do is say, okay, you know, it comes back, I didn't put it in the article, but that old thing from D.L. Moody where this woman came to him and said, "Sir, I don't like the way you do evangelism." And he responded, "Well, ma'am, I like the way I do evangelism better than the way you don't do evangelism." So, you know, I think ultimately, if you are uncomfortable with the ways people shared the gospel in the 70s, and how are you going to share the gospel to the seven neighbors who live near you? I think that's ultimately what we've got to ask as well.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. All right. The second reason evangelism has declined is that many believers don't have confidence in the gospel.
Yeah. So I think ultimately there is a sense that for a lot of Christians, actually we studied regular church attenders in evangelical churches, about half believe some sort of pluralistic or universalistic idea that the gospel, that somehow there's another plan, that if we don't tell people, God's got another way to pull it off. And I think ultimately they're not confident that without Christ, the world's lost. And without that certainty, and then that certainty that with Christ, you know, that ultimately not only can we be redeemed, but ultimately we can live with him forever. I think if they don't believe that fully, they're not going to share boldly. And I think a lot of people just don't believe it that fully.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're in this series at our church on discernment, and I was preaching through a few verses in Colossians 1, and we were talking about making decisions and kind of just what the steps are to make those good decisions. But the first point in my message was, hey, we need to understand that the wisdom that Paul was talking about wasn't necessarily general wisdom, like just here's how to make good decisions. It was actually Christocentric wisdom that led that would lead the church in Colossae and lead the people in Colossae, toward Christ. So it was a sense of where even in this message where I was trying to be practical to give people ideas around decision making, I had to start with, hey, but the context here is our wisdom first and foremost, our primary sense of discernment needs to be about leading people to Christ. That's what Paul was talking about, that's how it needs to be for us. And then secondarily, when we have that right and we've asked rightly and we're walking with God, then God's going to lead us to find wisdom and to give us the wisdom to decide on other aspects that you might be discerning on. But the most important thing is that we have that Christocentric wisdom in pointing people to Christ.
Yeah, and I think that's good. And I think when we kind of walk through helping people to know and to respond and to follow Christ, I think ultimately we need to have this listening ear, because people are so yesterday, the person I shared the gospel with, fascinating conversation. And, he told me, I grew up, my dad was Jewish, my mom was Christian, and I then didn't want to follow either of those, but I wanted a ritual of transition into adulthood, and so I participated in a Native American sweat lodge ceremony, and I said, this is fascinating, but now I'm an atheist. I said, really? And so he began to, and I said, well, so you don't believe in like anything, there's nothing out there. He said, well, no, I mean, I believe there's like God or universal spirit. I said, well, that's not an atheist, that's you're a theist, at least you believe there's a God. And then the question is, who is that God? And so we began to just have this conversation. And just in the Lord's goodness, he just kept asking questions and God honored it. And I was very pleased. I think asking God for wisdom and strength and help in those things are key. And then following leading the Holy Spirit's key.
Yeah, that's good. All right. The third reason evangelism has declined is that it's getting harder to share the gospel in a context where people are further away from what their parents or grandparents believed.
Yeah. So what you're seeing here is that, like, when I was a kid, I knew that there was a God, and I knew he wrote a book. I knew he was a God. I just couldn't know him personally, and I knew he wrote a book. And at the end of the day, I couldn't understand it. But I had these basic knowledge. Well, today, I mean, I don't know. Most people would believe. I grew up, nominally Catholic. I don't think most people today would believe that God wrote a book, or they would have familiarity with it, or maybe wrote a whole bunch of books and more. So I think the answer is that for us, we have to ask the question, how do we start an evangelistic conversation with somebody who's not even close to that? The question, are you saved? Or are you ready to repent of your sin? Those sentences don't mean anything. And so if it doesn't mean anything, and it doesn't to a lot of people, where do we start? And sometimes we have to start with apologetics, basically, is there a God? And if there's a God, how do we know there's a God? And if that God, where do we go from there for this? So over and over, we're going to go, I think, from there.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. One of my friends recently sent me this message about a friend who isn't a follower of Christ, doesn't profess any sort of faith there, but is walking through a lot of issues around career and transition just a lot of change. And there's this unsettledness of, I don't really know what to believe or how to believe. And he was like, is your new book going to be helpful toward that end? Or is it going to assume, like what you're talking about here, is it going to assume this broad base of general Christian knowledge or understanding of the scriptures? And what I shared with them was, hey, the heart behind my book, and this is the book is You Are What You Do and Six Other Lies About Work, Life, and Love. So the heart behind that book and the podcast that I do with my wife, the In Between podcast, is that they're both, this is what we say to our guests. We're like, hey, if you do, everything's written. I wrote it from a biblical perspective. We're talking from a biblical perspective, but just assume that people know nothing. Sure. So that's our heart, and I completely understand that, because we do want to make these things evangelistic and ultimately point people to Christ so that the Holy Spirit can do the work that only He can do. Yeah. All right. So the fourth reason evangelism has declined is a sort of spiritual replacement, as you say, where people are replacing evangelism with another spiritual emphasis.
Yeah. So I think what happens is that people will say, well, we just need discipleship. Well, of course we need discipleship. We just need more prayer. Of course we need more prayer. And then what happens is those things all become precursors, because really don't want to do evangelism. So if we could just have some precursor to that, then we'd get to evangelism. And so the focus becomes on anything other than evangelism. Matter of fact, it's interesting when people do, you know, like natural church development or transformational church assessment tool, a lot of times evangelism or outreach will be the lowest ranked thing. And then the second lowest ranked thing would, let's say, be fellowship, or maybe it's prayer. And then the church will get together, form a committee and say, it is not possible that prayer is low, and they'll focus on prayer. It's not, fellowship's low, we got to focus on, but it's like, but there's a lower one, and that's evangelism. And so, but they'll actually ignore that one. And the end result is they'll focus, they'll focus on anything other than evangelism. So what I would say is that there are a lot of things that God calls people to do, worship and pray and seek justice and a hundred other things. But there's one that God calls people to do that God's people always forget. So putting an emphasis on that, I think, is a wise and prudent thing.
That's good. That's good. The fifth issue is a lack of compassion for the lost around us.
Yeah. So if it's true that Jesus is, indeed a, the ruler of the whole world, that without him, that people have no hope, then we would certainly live differently. It was Craig Rochelle wrote the book, Practical Atheists. When it comes to evangelism, a lot of people are practical atheists. And and for us, the the path of practical atheism is basically to assume that everybody's fine, doesn't need Jesus when they do. And I think that's a disservice to them. It's a disservice to the gospel. It's a disservice to us, for that matter.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah. The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. I mean, we have to, there's that compassion side of that. And also it says then to pray to the Lord, pray to the Lord. So yeah, that's huge. All right. So two more to go. The sixth one is that there's a fear of not having the answers to questions people raise.
Well, and everyone I think feels that. I feel that, you know, professor and, you know, but someone asks a question, you know, let's say particularly when I'm talking to someone, I was actually talking to someone who was a Manichaean, and I happen to have just a little bit of knowledge of that, just got read online, you know, it's this religion. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, kind of what they believe and all that sort of stuff. And so so I had this brief conversation with him, just enough that he like, oh, he knows a little bit about it. But man, if they would ask me more questions, I would have been done. And what I would have said is, I don't know. I don't know. And it's okay to say, I don't know. It's okay to say, I don't know. And ultimately help people to say, well, let's look at it together. Let's look it up from there and see ultimately what the belief is. So, now again, even what's interesting is that I'm not even sure he knew. I mean, because it's kind of this like ancient religion. So I'm not even sure he knew what it was. But if he did, I was in trouble, because I didn't know many answers.
Yeah. And that's okay. That's okay. Right. I mean, we don't need to come across as the experts, and that actually, to say, I don't know, is a really powerful thing to say, because it shows authenticity. It shows that you're a learner as well. So don't be afraid of that. No one's going to run away from Christ by you saying, I don't know, but they can, if you are full of pride and think you know all the answers. So, all right. Last point. Some people think that their lives aren't good enough for them to be witnesses.
Well, and some of that's kind of a mix of true and untrue, because I mean, you know, if you're, you know, walking out of a strip club with, you know, drunk, that's probably not going to be the best time to share the gospel. And so, but what I would say is for most people, it's not really that level of egregiousness. It's just, you know, I'm growing, or I swear sometimes, or whatever, you know, just in the midst of that, you share the gospel and say, you know, I'm not perfect. I don't have the perfect track record here. I'm struggling trying to figure this out, but let me just say what Jesus done to me, for me, and in me. And I think when we do that, I think it's okay, because people then hear the kind of humility that I'm imperfect. Because here's the deal. People already know you're imperfect, so you might as well tell them, and then tell them about Jesus who's perfect.
That's right. That's right. Well, Ed, just before we close, you have a conference coming up, Amplify, that's going to be coming up all about evangelism. Do you want to tell our listeners a little bit more about that?
So we have a conference called Amplify, and we do it each and every summer. It's always the fourth week of June. And it's North American focused. U.S. and Canada come, and it's also the North American Lausanne regional gathering for North America. But the end result for us is that we want to provoke to love and good deeds people that they might ultimately hear and respond to the good news of the gospel. And I think the good news is that people are, all kinds of churches come. It's practical. It's got leadership stuff, discipleship stuff, with the core of reaching people as its main focus. Oh, then go to amplifyconference.tv for more information.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, hope to see you there. And yeah, thanks again for listening to the New Churches podcast. We'll catch you next time. It is now well known that planting new churches and campuses is the most effective way of reaching the lost, and launching in rented venues like schools or theaters is one of the most cost-effective ways to launch a new church. So if you're planning a launch or are trying to figure out how to do church well in rented venues, we encourage you to check out our friends at Portable Church. The team at Portable Church Industries takes your vision and creates engaging environments that keep volunteer retention high and allow more energy to be spent on ministry. Go to portablechurch.com/lifeway to learn more and find free customized resources that teach how to launch portable and strong.